You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
You are now listening to the Ride or Cry podcast.
Do you know what? A lot of people listen to these.
Wait, try yours again.
No, I know.
It's like a weird. It's weird.
Are we recording now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fuck. There's no like ever.
I mean, I'm the. Yeah. We can edit this. I mean, like people. I feel like your listener group. They're gonna say Juicebox. Who's that?
Yeah, but no.
They're gonna find
dude,
out.
Dude, here's the fucking thing. Here's what's great is that the people that know you, like, love you so much. And I think what's really, really cool is that the people that we've introduced you to also love you, like, that much. And I think, I feel like this is your year.
Well, I'm just happy to be alive and making music. That's all I'm gonna say.
I'm not happy to be alive.
I'm feeling all right, you know. I wouldn't say I'm feeling good. I wouldn't say I'm feeling bad. But I would say I'm just feeling all right.
And, well, you just flew in.
I just flew in from New York, and I'm really, like, at this point, I'm just trying to take it one day at a time and achieve the goals I have to achieve in that particular day, and just keep it fucking moving.
So,
I can swear on this show, right?
You can say whatever you want.
Yeah, let me curse.
And whatever, you want to do, you can say it. You can say that. You can say go to heck. You can say son of a gun. You can swear word that you've ever wanted to say.
Okay.
Everybody, this is Juicebox. He's one of our friends, and you want to tell us a little bit about like, let's say that, because we do, you're right, we do have, the audience that listens to this is a little bit different than what would normally be, that would normally listen to Juicebox, but I don't think that just because they haven't done that yet, they won't do it now.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. How long of a summer do you want? Do you want like 30 seconds, 15 seconds,
two minutes, five minutes?
Do you want like an hour?
Let's
like
see.
How do I condense this?
I got an idea.
Hit the timer.
I'm gonna.
how many minutes?
I'm gonna tell you.
Because you know this is it's a story that could be told in many ways.
How's 3 minutes feeling for you?
All right. 3 minutes. All right. Let's
and
go.
And hold on. And Juicebox is going to tell you the story about Juicebox in 3 minutes.
All right,
starting
let's go.
Now.
Started rapping, 15 years old. Before that, 14, played in a pop punk band called Hillary's Victims. Not about Hillary Clinton, about the guitar player's mother. So 15, rapping, 16, noise music, 17, noise music and rapping, and kind of moving in and out of noise and punk and hardcore and rap music. Let me back it up. This is, like, just for the emo heads out there. I did see a show when I was 13. Check out this triple bill. You had opening up the show. You had the Dismemberment Plan. Mm-hmm. Following that, you had Alkaline Trio. And headlining, you had The Promise Ring. I swear to God, that was a real show I saw in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Back to Juicebox. I'm 18 now. Do you know about Rainbow Rock? Nobody really knows about Rainbow Rock. That's, like, we're talking Lightning Bolt. We're talking Dan Deacon, you know? I'm fucking around, you know? I'm playing shows, noise shows, punk shows. I'm rapping a bit. iPod backing track. Had a CD player in high school, upgraded to an iPod. Just me, Greyhound bus, all around the country. Go to Europe. I'm like 22 now, whatever. I'm in Europe. I'm in Japan. It's just me. It's just Juicebox, you know, just trying to live my fucking life and not kill myself. All right, what happens? Milwaukee, then I'm in LA, live with Jacob for a while. I'm still rapping, marginal levels of success, occasional highlights, tour with Public Enemy, tour with some other people, whatever. Sleeping in a basement, you know, barely staying alive. Let's keep it going. I'm 25. I'm 26. Milwaukee, back to New York City. I'm in New York City. Some weird guy who went to Harvard writes an entire book about me. That's not a lie. It's called The Next Level. It's a real thing. You may think I'm joking that somebody. Why would somebody write a book about me? Like, it's just like I have 10 fans, and out of those 10 fans, like one of them wrote a book about me. That's just what Juicebox is all about. You know, it's about like. A ton of hate, but then the people who like it, they really like it sometimes, but that's not so many people. So where am I now? I'm 30 years old. and I'm still making music. How many more? What's the time? What time are we? I'm going kind of nonlinear.
He's fucking around on his phone.
No,
he's fucking, like,
no,
I'm going real nonlinear.
Say,
like,
you have 53 seconds left.
All right, I'm going super nonlinear. So let's take
the
it back.
Highlights.
Let's take it back to, like, I don't know, like, let's take it back to like 20 or 21. I remember playing touring England with Jacob's old band, the Meshi. That happened, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's
the
all these
feck,
things.
Do you remember the
thing about Juice? Yeah, we played on a boat together
Don't
in
talk.
Bristol. All
right, oh, yeah.
The thing about Juicebox is you can't, like, if I try to get deep into the history, it's not, like, I'm not trying to sound arrogant, but it's a weird, I've lived a weird fucking life of music. I just keep playing shows. People tell me I should stop. I know I should stop, but I'm not stopping. That's just the reality. I'm sorry. It's like, sometimes I want to, most of the time I want to stop. But so here we are. It's 2017. Freaked Out American Loser comes out in 2 weeks on Danger Bird Records.
5 seconds.
Noise Music, Rainbow Rock. Thunder Zone is the energy drink I make.
Hell yeah. There you go.
Hold on. Timer done, baby.
Podcast is over.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming in, dude.
So let's unpack that.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. You know, a lot of people know Jacob because Jacob's part of Ride or Cry and works with him and I, like, really, really heavily. And you lived with Jacob and toured with Jacob. So what's really, we like to, for some reason, this has all come very full circle.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt.
And now working with you has been really, really great because it's shown us, like, it's shown me at least, like, a different side of, like, because you've stood this test of time all while, like, fucking with cool shit. Like, you haven't ever compromised being like, I'm going to do something lame in order to, like, appease somebody, and you've stayed true to Juice.
Well, I'm just an idiot, you know? Like, I was making dance music in, like, 2005, 2006, 2007, sort of, like, you know, toured around that. Whatever was happening in 2007 with, like, party photographers and, like, people wearing American Apparel, like, for some reason, like, I did that a little bit, too. Like, all while I was playing noise shows, you know? Like, I was still doing deep underground shit, but I was just, like, you know, I was living in Milwaukee paying $200 a month in rent, you know? You get flown to, like, whatever, some, like, Pittsburgh to, like, play some dumb electro, whatever, you know, you're 20 years old, but whatever, what am I trying to say? Oh yeah, but, like, right as EDM started happening, that's when I just, like, stopped. I was like, nah, I'm gonna be a rap rocker now, you know what I mean? Like,
when
I could have gotten
that? What happened? Why were you like, alright, this is what I'm fucking
I just gotta
doing.
Follow my heart, you know, and, like, and it was, like, 2010, 2011, that's when it was really that's when I just quit doing dance music.
Like, yeah, but, like, what was the fucking point? Like, what did you hear where you're like, that's what I want to do?
Well, it was that Public Enemy tour that kind of, like, connected a lot of dots to me because I was solo doing, like, no, I didn't have, like, live drums or, but seeing Public Enemy play every night, I was like, okay, I'm going to do a, like, because I've always been into Bruce Springsteen and I've always in the back of my
the
head,
boss.
I've had some idea of how to, like, articulate rap music in a way that, like, transmitted a similar feeling as Bruce Springsteen. And then, like, seeing Public Enemy, I was like, okay, they're, like, the Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band of rap music. Like, they were playing for, like, 2.5 hours every night. That tour was in Canada, by the way, for the record.
Was it all in Canada?
It was all in Canada. We were hitting Calgary. We were hitting Edmonton. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Deep Canada shit.
Deep cut Canada.
B markets.
Dude, it's been how long since you've been doing
Juice? It's been
15 Juice?
Years. Since half of my life. Half of my stupid life.
I don't think it's stupid at all. I think that after we started working with you, I did a bunch of background stuff what happened was Jacob came aboard, like, right after we started working with Danger Bird. And this is Danger Bird.
It was like the week of.
It was like the week of.
Like the
it was the week of.
It's really crazy.
It was really, really crazy. And Jenny hit us up. She's like, look, I've got Juicebox. And I did a little research. And it was like, and then Jacob got on. He's like, dude, we have to work with Juicebox. Like, Juicebox is the fucking greatest. He's an insane human being, which is like
I did call you insane. I'm sorry.
No, it's I am.
Yeah, but I think it's like I think that it's one of the coolest things in the entire world because it's rare that we work with a lot of artists and it's rare that we see somebody who is just like, this is what I want. This is what I want to do, and this is how we're gonna do it. And we get a lot of artists being like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, we have this music. How do we do the rest of it? Whereas, like, you've developed, like, exactly what you want and exactly who you are as a person and into a brand, where I think that it takes so much thought and, like, it's I bet you wake up every single day and think about exactly what you're going to do every single day until the moment you go to bed, and then do the same thing.
Sort of. Well, you know, it's, like, there's a lot of in between that. There's just a lot of like curling up in a ball, in like a kind of a small puppy in the corner of my room. Maybe not even on my bed. Maybe just in the corner. You know what I mean? It's like extreme bouts of just like panic and anxiety, and then you wait. Then you're just like, okay, I have to accomplish these things.
That's like us.
Yeah, you just describe our lives.
Like how, like as I have a like I just. Like, I have that every day. I have
crippling fear and anxiety.
Yeah, I left guilt and shame, like, 6 months ago, and now I've moved into...
No, it was, like, a month ago.
Yeah, guilt and shame was following me very heavily for, like, a long time. And then I left that, and now I am filled with, like, anxiety and panic.
I mean, that's just been sort of, like, I feel... Yeah, no, it sucks, right? I mean,
it's,
like,
it's really hard. Do you know what, when I go to bed, it feels like the... It, let me ask you this. You ever have that feeling when you're going to bed and it feels like there's an earthquake? It feels like in like you're physically feeling like an earthquake?
That's LA,
bro. I think that's called restless leg syndrome. The whole restless leg syndrome thing is so tripped out because it's just like obviously people that have like anxiety issues.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't even know what those pills do. You know, the
ADD pills?
No, just like, you know.
There's restless leg syndrome pills.
Have you seen the ads for that on TV?
Do they have real pills for those?
They're like, yo, you might have restless legs.
It like controls like the bottom half of your body.
But I mean, like, I know what they're talking about. It's like, I have that. It's called anxiety.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
I just,
and it just comes out in your legs.
I go to bed every night and I go, the weight of the world. I feel the weight of the world. And then I walk out my my apartment building, which is right up the street. And I walk, I look and I audibly say, I think I'm depressed. And I walk to work. That is my...
This is by far the darkest podcast episode we've had.
You have all these emo people.
Yeah,
on,
but
like,
usually...
Yeah, what about if every podcast we just talked about people's like levels of depression? Yeah.
I just assume that's what this was.
No, this is the darkest it's ever been.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
That's insane. You know, it's funny because like Jacob Chiacci from like Paper Red and Extreme Animals, who's like, you know, like their art and music was super colorful. And but we were joking, like, you know, the term no depression is like what they called like alt country. You know what I mean? Like Wilco and stuff. Like there was a magazine called No Depression, and that was like what they called the genre. But it's like real no it's like the people that are depressed or something. Like I think like the sometimes when you make the most hypercolor insane like stuff, that those are the people that are the most damaged.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Well, I mean it's the same in music though, like
I
feel like it goes with people that are like insane musicians or like dealing with the most shit, you know?
Yeah, but also I just mean like maybe if somebody the music somebody makes maybe sometimes doesn't even correlate with their like mental state.
I keep myself so busy from the so I don't ever have to think about myself.
Yeah.
And if I like had one free second, I would be curling up into a ball in the corner of my room being like, I can't do this.
So why do you keep doing it, Juicebox?
I don't know. I think it just like is an attempt to find meaning, you know, and, you know, kind of interact with my, the landscape.
You having fun?
Well, I don't think it hasn't really, I don't know if it's ever really been about fun for me.
But I mean, like, are you having fun? Like the thing, like I try to not do shit if I mean, I guess you're right.
I don't know
if
fun's the right word.
Yeah.
I feel like I want to know.
Are you having fun, Morgan?
I feel the same way as him.
Yeah.
Well, see, like, here's the thing, but I do think there's another word for it. And knowing you, JB, for a long time, like, I do think there's truth in what you do, but maybe, like, the meaning that you're on the look for isn't like, oh, like, I need fun things to do, but more like, I want to see how chaotic this can get. It's like, okay, like, fuck it. Let's just see, like, how crazy this gets.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, for me, it's just really always just been about, like, there's been many times where it's just a gut check, where it stopped being, I don't know. I don't know if it was ever fun. I think it was always just about, like, really doing something that I felt that I just had no other choice but to do.
Is that what it is?
I actually like believe that because I just remember like, you know, this record, it's pretty funny, you know, this record, I made this like on like a shoestring budget, thinking that I was gonna put it out on cassette on Thunderzone, or that was just like one thing. I was like, well, if no labels want it, I'll just put it out on tape. But I still made it because I felt, you know, like the past couple years has been really like, you know, I cut a lot of shit out of my life, and I just like kind of locked myself in my room and just kept writing
like what?
Songs.
And why?
I quit drinking, and I quit kind of just like
why? Why did you quit drinking?
I felt like I needed a new level of focus in my life, and I felt like I needed a new level of just like resolve. You know, I felt like I hadn't accomplished anything I wanted to accomplish in my 20s. I felt like my 20s were this like chaotic mess, and I moved to New York and I got a day job.
Where?
And, I don't want to talk about
you
it.
You don't want to talk about
yeah,
it?
No, but you know what I mean? Like, I made some serious...
You know where?
Yeah, but...
I mean,
it's
I,
not because it's a like a crazy
it's
thing.
It's not a just... crazy thing. I just don't want... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, people can figure it out.
Yeah.
Maybe. But, like, you know,
he's
it was...
a prostitute.
Yeah. If only.
I got really close to the mic when I said, he's a prostitute.
No, but no, I think I would do poorly in that.
There's
look
there's,
at me.
Dude, there's freaks out
look at
there.
Look at me,
no
Jacob.
Offense.
Look at me, Jacob. Jacob, look at me.
But seen I have a boner.
Regardless,
now.
I got a job, and you know, like, and I just like did it. I stopped socializing in the way I socialized a lot in my 20s, and I just kind of locked myself in my room and just kept writing and writing and writing. And
yeah, now that I'm 30, I can fucking say that the 20s are fucking insane.
Yeah, no, looking back at it, I don't know what it's, I mean, and making the music has been a way to try to process that.
Yeah.
But it's really been just like, yeah, no, I mean, I remember even like around this time last summer, just like being like talking to a friend of mine and being like, I keep writing all these songs and I don't even know why. You know what I mean? Like, it was just like, I just felt like, well, I think part of it was this book. So, like, this book happened, and I felt like this guy created this...
Yeah, hold on. Back up for a second, because I feel like when you're talking about this book, like, you know, we know, but...
Yeah, nobody... Okay, so let me break it down. So there's this guy, Leon, who, he booked a show for me when we were both teenagers, and he lived in the suburbs of Chicago, and, like, somehow the show really affected him, and we had mutual friends, and we kind of kept in touch over the years, like, pretty casually, and when I moved to New York, he, We did like a series. We were started hanging out more, and we did a series of like probably 30 hours of interviews.
Uh-huh.
And he thought it was just going to be for an article. And the first thing that happened was there was a 20-page article in this literary magazine called N+1 that's sort of like respected in certain communities. And then he got a book deal, and it turned into a full book. And the book is about me and kind of my life and my career, but also his life and his career, which, you know, he went to Harvard, and then he wrote for the Boston Globe, and now he writes for Slate, and he's a very, you know, pretty successful journalist who has married. I DJ'd his wedding, actually.
Why do you think that that show fucked him up so much? Where he was like, I gotta write a book about
this
guy.
Well, I think it's been really hard for me to get my thoughts together about this book because, I, you know, on one level,
I'm like
it's
breathing
super...
into the mic. Sorry.
No, keep going. I like it. It's good. You got a delay for that, Jacob's breathing?
I mean, for this podcast, we should have put some, like, set up some fucking, like, you know, metal zone.
We'll fix it in post.
Yeah.
Yeah, can we just run this through metal zone?
We'll just vector it.
But why do you think... You're so mad at the fact that Jacob said that. But why do you think that was a thing?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of... I think partially, like, I think he saw some of himself in me, but he just saw a different part of himself. Maybe, I don't know.
I mean, probably.
But
have
also...
Have you talked to him about it?
Yeah, I mean, it's... I have a hard time, like, saying anything definitive about this book because, like, I haven't read it in 2 years, and I probably won't read it for another 10 years.
Yeah.
But one thing I will say about it is that it kind of created this... You know, it got a shit ton of press coverage. Big New Yorker article, like, that kind of world. And I think that... It kind of laid down this narrative for me, which is here's this DIY lifer who's been doing it forever, and he keeps playing for 20 people in basements, and why is he doing it, and blah, blah, blah. And I felt like that was I felt like I needed to transcend that narrative. I didn't want that. I didn't want this fucking book to be the final, like, period in my career. You know what I mean? I didn't want it to be like, okay, here's the eccentric journeyman lifer guy. Like, I felt like some need to do something that, like, went above that, you know?
It's weird that you're like, that you like relate yourself into not, you're like, it's, you think it's weird that you're in the New Yorker, or you're weird that you're in stuff like that, because it's not, in my eyes, I would rather see you there than a lot of other people, because there's a lot of other artists that aren't as interesting, and they're not as compelling, and they're not as like real. And so I think that those publications are for that. And even though there may be other artists out there that are real and compelling, but for some reason you keep getting that stuff. I think that it's something about you personally that attracts these things.
I think you're right. I think ultimately the press was good, and I think the book was ultimately like in some ways positive. Uh-huh. But I'd rather be in the New Yorker just for like my music, obviously, not because like some like guy wrote a book about me being. I felt like I got like, when I'm feeling really negative about the book, I don't really think about it that much anymore, but I feel like I got This American Life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I've been really, like, too far away from the mic. Whatever. Dude,
you can fix it. You're a loud talker.
I'm a rapper, you know. But, like, you know how This American Life, you know, it's just like, check out my eccentric rapper friend Juicebox, you know. Well, travels all over the country and plays these shows for 10 people with, I don't understand, what's the deal with noise music? Like, yeah. I tried to listen to a Wolf Eyes album. I went to Harvard, you know? I mean, I don't know. You know what I mean? It's just like, that's, but
well,
I think.
Well, how old is this guy?
We're like about the same age.
So you think he grew up probably listening to the same stuff as you?
No, he didn't. And I think what happened was just like,
we're
that.
We're like slowly making you hate this guy.
No, I mean, I don't. I don't want to, because like, I tried to stay like pretty level-headed during that press cycle, because we did a shit ton of press.
You like regularly meet with him to like.
Yeah, we did a
interview.
Shit. We did a
like,
ton of interviews, okay. And like he kept on trying to draw this thing out of me. Whatever, it's okay.
No. Is it stressing you out?
You started
about this?
No, it's good. It's good.
Wait, what was he trying to draw out of you?
Well, just like I think
you
he had
end the sentence.
He had some idea about me as a performer being this sort of like wild animal.
Yeah,
and he thought, and then like I think when I started kind of trying to explain to him my performance process, I think he realized that the reality is more complex. It's this mixture of intuition, but also, like, you know, I'm a student of the game, you know? Like,
ooh,
you know what I mean? Wow. Like, it's not like I'm just getting on stage and just freaking out. Like, I'm very influenced by other performers. And I think by the end of the book, he sort of realized that, yeah, I'm, like, a deep head. And, like, even though I'm, like, go fucking nuts on stage, it's, like, I'm very considered about the way I perform, you know. It's not like I'm just spazzing out there.
Sure.
It's like I have my references.
You're
and
planned.
I think it's hard. Some people who aren't creative, I think they don't. It's hard, it's hard for them to understand the idea that like you can be really crazy, but you can also be like sort of like.
There's a control to all of
yeah.
it. I feel.
I mean, yeah, like, but there's elements of like live performance that you can never like anticipate, though.
Yeah.
Like there's so like, I mean, what's some of like just for people listening, like what is some of the weirder things that have happened on stage? What are some of like the like I want these guys to like know the Juicebox highlight reel so they can go and listen to all of the songs and like imagine you doing this on stage. And
well, I mean, if you want to just talk about pure carnage, like
yeah, let's
remember,
talk about that.
I've seen some shows.
It's never my intention to inflict harm on myself or others, you know? It really isn't. Like I remember this one show where this guy, like, smashed a bottle of hot sauce on my skull in Orlando. It was, like, garage rock shit in, like, mid-2000s. And remember, if we're going to stay on the topic of bottles, I remember a guy I was playing in Shenzhen, China. And this guy, I jumped into the crowd, and this guy pushed me on the ground, and like this was the only time I've ever played a show where I felt like, scared for my life.
Wow.
He like shoved a bottle of beer like down my, like, choked me with it.
You did like Japan. You did It was like, what, like
I did China and Japan and Korea, like, and the Philippines.
Wasn't it like a month?
Yeah, I did like a crazy Asian tour.
What was your favorite place out of those?
I mean, Japan is like, it's the best place for me.
Yeah,
to
I was going
to
say, like, I feel like you do really well in Japan, right?
I've been there 4 times.
Hell yeah.
And like, for some reason, it's not like I'm playing for many other more kids than I would in like Chicago or something, but it's like, they're really intense shows and people really like, appreciate the performances.
Well, I mean, we work with a lot of like Japanese artists for another company, and the thing that I found real interesting in comparison to like United States is that they're really, really particular about their art, and they appreciate art for art as opposed to appreciate art to sell. And so I think that probably translates into fucking watching shows also.
Yeah, and they don't, I don't know. I think they make up their own minds, you know? Like, here I'm, like, a fourth tier, like, washed up rainbow rock. Just kidding. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, all I'm saying is, like, you know, to go to Japan and, like, be on the same bill with, like, Guitar Wolf.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's something really heavy about that for me, personally. And to be a part of that sort of, like, because that's a real, like, rich history in Japan of, like, noise and garage and stuff. You know, that's its own thing. And somehow, like, you know, the kid who always books me there, he's Guitar Wolf's roadie, so, like, it's just, like, to jump into that scene full steam and, like, yeah, I don't know, I feel like, what's funny, this guy I know in New York, he said something funny about me where he said, you know, like, with graffiti, it's always about, like, who can climb on the top of the biggest thing and do the craziest train thing, but he's, like, the ones that get remembered the most are the ones that find the spots that nobody will ever wash over.
Yeah,
that's true.
And yeah. He compared that to how I've like conducted my touring career.
I think just in career in general,
where you just like pick these little, I don't know, you find these little like pockets of something where you can like actually affect people, even if it's a small amount of people.
I mean, I think that like I personally wanted to know if you're having fun, but also like that and I meant fun. I know what I do. Because I want to be fulfilled, like, and so when I finish something, I feel fulfilled, but I also feel the need to continue to do something right after that, because I'm constantly looking for something to, like, do that to me.
But,
like,
then do you ever feel fulfilled?
I feel fulfilled for, like, about 30 minutes.
Right? Yeah.
For about 30 minutes until I start, like, after, like, let's say, like, we shoot a music video, and then it's done, and it's out, and I can feel fulfilled for that period of time, but then I go, what can I do next? What can I do better?
Because it's like by that time you're already working on
it. Totally.
There's not even that moment of like, oh, this is great.
And so,
what is next?
Yeah, and so like, is that fun? I don't know, but is it fulfilling? Yeah, for a little bit. And I think that that's like what I'm reaching to do. And I can assume, I don't want to assume, but I can try and assume that like after you play a show and you connect with one person or two people there that you see, you're like, I'm fulfilled for that amount of time.
Yeah, I mean, the performance, I think that's just the biggest, for me, that's like, I mean, the record, making records is really important, and it continues to get even more important for me. But like, yeah, I mean, there's nothing better than playing a good show, and that can mean playing a really big show. Or that could mean, like, we played a show on this tour, I think I told you about it, where we played a video arcade in a small town in Wisconsin where there's under around 5,000 population, played for like 20 people, but it was, I mean, pretty much everybody in that crowd bought a shirt afterwards, and like, you know what I mean, it was just amazing.
It's like the classic small town
like
scenario,
and like that's to like me what, that's amazing too in its
that's
own
the
right.
touring like I can't ever recreate. That is like the one thing that I miss about being like on a smaller circuit, where like you play those towns, like you play like Napa or you play like Yuma, Arizona, and every single even if no one even knew what the fuck was going on that night, they would go to the show because like it's what's going on and that's like what everyone's doing.
Totally.
But then they would all fucking buy merch, and like those would be the best nights of tour.
Yeah,
because you'd like also they'd be like, come stay at my house and I'll make you fucking food.
I mean, we played after the arcade show. We played we played 3 shows that day, which was crazy.
You also played like in the street, right?
We played I mean, so like, yeah, I think for me, performance, there is something it's just a different thing than like making records, you know, like there's just like a physicality involved in it that like puts it in a different kind of bracket for me, you know? Like making records or writing songs, there's, like, these moments of transcendence or discovery, and then it's mostly hard work trying to make them actually be good. But there's something about performance that is just, like, so in the moment. I don't know. It's its own thing.
When I've brought you up with a... Because obviously we work in the music industry, which is my least favorite term in the entire world for anything. It sounds super pompous.
Welcome to LA,
and
maybe.
It sounds fucking super arrogant.
Are you gonna get signed while you're here? You're working on some deals, some contracts.
It's not this South by Southwest is this week, right?
Dude, fuck.
Also, fucking. So anyway, like we live in that world, and whenever I've brought you up to people in that world, they're like. They have nothing but great shit to say, which leads me to believe, like, why have you stuck playing?
Yeah,
in what you do, which is because people that are respected and people that like know what they're talking about and people that are like, you know, that are really, really, really fucking bigger players are like, dude, I fucking love Juicebox.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I think I've made a lot of idiotic life choices, career choices.
like what?
I don't
know.
Like,
what was one thing you're like, podcast. I probably shouldn't have done that besides this?
Well, I mean, this is great, by the way. This is a good podcast.
It's a fun. We keep it
keep
fucking
it
real.
Almost
in here.
Too real. Yeah.
No, it's good. I mean,
I'm learning more about my coworkers.
That's what
ever
it's all about.
About them from this.
It's like a corporate
corporate
retreat.
I didn't know they were so fucking depressed.
I couldn't be more depressed.
Jacob, I'm on antidepressants.
Yeah, me too.
This is
not sure.
That's a ride or cry podcast exclusive.
Oh yeah,
I've been on and off of mental health. Pills for quite
Dude,
some time now.
Which one?
You have?
Yeah.
But you're off of them completely?
No, I'm on them now.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I just, like, it's the kind of thing, I don't know why I'm just feeling open right now. I don't give
Dude.
A fuck anymore about anything. Like, it's just, like, I've been on, you know, yeah, I've had mental health, of course I've had mental health issues my whole life, you know, like, and, you know, I go on and off of, you know, different kinds of, like, medications and, yeah, you know, the goal is for me to be functional and be able to perform, you know, and not lock myself in my room or whatever, you know.
I've never taken, I can't even speak. I've never taken medicine for, like, things like that, but does it affect, have you noticed, like, if it affects certain records or?
No. I mean, without getting into too many details, I would say that, like, it doesn't.
What does it feel like?
It doesn't.
I feel like
it doesn't
someone
affect.
Who doesn't do drugs is like, yeah. Is it gonna hurt? Does it hurt?
I would say that, like, ultimately, it's just in my opinion. Well, you know, when I was a kid, I was just put on and off of, like, as I feel like I'm of the generation
where no one
that was
knew
just,
shit about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean, I was put on, like, Ritalin when I was like five,
Jesus.
You know. I
yeah.
mean, whatever. And then quickly taken off of it. Yeah. But you know what
you're
I mean?
Like this was a bad idea.
And then, and then picked it back up when you're an adult for recreational use. Yeah.
No comment.
Full circle,
but,
maybe.
You know what I mean? Like I'm of that generation. I mean, many people are where there's just like a lot of trial and error psychiatric.
I mean,
stuff.
I remember growing up and everyone I knew was on fucking Ritalin. Like
yeah.
No one is on Ritalin.
I think
now,
they
right?
chilled on that a little bit now.
Dude, yeah. It was so funny. My parents never believed in that, but they definitely believed in like antidepressant medicine. They were just like, no, you don't have that. You're just eccentric and you're
shout out to Cheryl.
Cheryl Freed.
Cheryl.
How are your parents like it, like your career? How do they look at your career?
I think they, you know, most of my extended family works in public education in one way or another. Like, my father is a retired high school teacher, and my mom worked for she was a sign language interpreter at a local university. So, I don't know. I mean, it's weird, because I'm one of the few people in the extended family that has any sort of, like, aspirations within the marketplace.
Do you have siblings?
No, I'm gonna...
I don't know why
I
forgot that.
Of course, yeah, of course. No, I'm not even saying, like, you should know that, but I'm just like, look at me. Like, of course I'm an only child, you know? I don't know, you know? Like, it's just, like, I think my dad actually read that Springsteen autobiography recently, and I think maybe that, like, gave him new insight into my life.
That's cool.
Did they read the book? that was written about you?
I think they did. And I think they had similar, I think, you know, it's a weird book. Like, the book is definitely on some, like, contemporary New York creative nonfiction. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's on exactly some of that, it's on that alt-lit tip.
Yeah,
no,
we
so
know.
So it's, you know what I mean? It's a quirky book.
Sure.
It's, like, it's its own weird fucking thing.
But, I mean, it, you can't, if you have parents that work in education and they're like, well, there was a book written about my son.
I think they read the book, and I think, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's all really confusing, you know, but I don't know, you know, I think I'm... I think they've always, you know, they've been supportive in a way, you know, meaning that, like, when I was a kid, they would drive me to shows.
Sure.
I think they've been quite skeptical in some ways of my life as a musician, and I think that's totally fair.
It's totally standard. Fair.
You know what I mean? And I think I don't think I would have wanted them to be any more supportive, but I will say that they, when I was young, they kind of nurtured my interests.
Yeah.
You know, meaning they would drive me to shows,
sure,
or they would drive me to record stores. But they weren't, like, they were never, like, they've never seen me play, you know?
Right. Really?
Yeah.
Ever?
No.
Would you?
I don't think I've told them this show. I don't know. I mean, I'll wait until, like, here's the thing. They can see me play if I can ever, like, headline the, like,
the
what,
garden.
You know, that room that you played in Milwaukee when you were in Waves at Turner Hall.
Oh, is that, like, the one that's just plastered in, like, PBR? Like,
probably.
Or was it called? Yeah. It turned into
Yeah.
Pabst.
Nice.
Pabst. Well, the Pabst Theater is next door.
Shout out to PBR.
But yes, until I can headline that venue, they're not going to see a show.
I don't remember.
Do you just
that
not
venue.
Tell them about your shows, or?
I mean, they're not going to go see me. Like, they're quite old, so they're not going to go see me play some, like, basement or, like, you know, punk bar.
But what if they could?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, the shows have definitely gotten more focused and less chaotic. But
can we invite the new show and record it for content?
A good music video would be just playing for your parents.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, in your living room.
Somehow it's just
that'd
like,
really
that this is like the
so
most
cool.
I've really talked about. Like, there's, I'm getting open in this one. This is like the true, like, you know, because I've, in a way, like, me trying to distance myself from my real name and call myself this dumb, like,
what's your real name?
Don't worry about
kidding.
It. Don't worry about it. You know what I mean? Like, there's
so
like,
you're not as open as you think you are.
No, I'm not.
His
and, you
real
know,
name
and
is Juice.
Juice, JV.
First name, Juice.
Juice.
Middle name, Space. Last name, Box.
There we go. But yeah, so I don't know. I still, like, the project in some ways was a way to just, like, stake my own weird claim.
Yeah.
What I like a lot about Juicebox is that nothing sounds like Juicebox. Like, if you like it or if you don't like it, you can't be like, oh, I've heard something that sounds like that.
And like I said on Twitter yesterday, there is one person who does sound like me, which is Kid Rock. Never gonna run for Senate, though. That's the thing.
Yeah,
that's why I'm
not
better than Kid Rock, because I'm not even joking about running
on
for
the record
office.
You're gonna say that?
Yeah, I can always deny later when I actually run.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's just like punk and rap music, you know? And yeah, I'm trying to carve out my... You know what I mean? You gotta just, like, it's a weird era for music.
It's fucking weird.
I just gotta carve out my little nook in
I
the
think
game, you know?
I think you're doing it, and I think you're going to continue to do it. I have a weird feeling that nobody will ever tell... Like, nobody will make you stop until you're like, I'm ready to stop. And, like, I don't know when that is going to be or what that's going to look like.
Me neither.
Which is fucking, which is interesting and cool and at the same time, like, you know, overwhelming.
Yeah, no, it is every year that goes on, it just gets deeper and deeper into your fucking madness.
Yeah, no, I know.
I hope that there's just, like, you can feel the weight of that when I play gigs, you know? And
well,
I hope yeah, I mean, I just hope there's, like, some, like, gravity to it in some weird way when I'm on stage that there's just, like, a kind of accumulated intensity.
I want to put things into, like, a tiny bit of perspective for you, because I think that in order for you... I don't think that you understand the gravity of what you are as an artist and as a person.
Tucson.
We haven't talked about Tucson yet. But, like, people that play rap rock don't get books written about them. Like, nobody's writing
a book.
There's
probably been a book about
Kid
Rock.
There's been literally...
Yeah, he fucking commissioned it.
One of those weird, like... You know those, like, weird books that were made in the late 90s?
Dude.
Just the, like, sell that were, like, a collection of magazine articles?
Nobody...
Remember, like...
Nobody wrote an alt-lit book on fucking, like, Linkin Park. Like, they wrote articles, they wrote, like, you know, shit to sell, and they wrote shit to, like, do, but nobody took an in-depth look at Linkin Park, because why? There's nothing to look into.
Hey, don't say that.
But
there's a lot to look into.
Linkin Park's great.
Like, I know, but, like, there's, like...
There are a lot of levels to Linkin Park. All
right, guys. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I...
You know what I'm saying. Like, that nobody, like, took the time...
I am offended.
Jesus fucking Christ.
You think Linkin Park listens to this podcast?
Maybe? They probably will this one. The one time where I'm, like, fucking, like, talking about that. Okay, granted, I like Linkin Park, okay? Like, I like that.
They're great.
Fine.
Do you ever play Linkin Park at your party?
You know what I did last night? I played a Blues Traveler, and I screamed about Frasier. You can pinpoint the exact time.
Dude, you're fucking pulling on his heartstrings, by the way. Do you know who a big Frasier fan is?
Remember, I had it.
You had a Frasier hat.
Right by our house, which is right around here, I found a sick Frasier baseball hat.
Do you still have it?
No, I think Sean Carnage took it for me, because during that show, I collapsed his stage.
I was going to bring that show up earlier.
Yeah, let's
leave it at that.
Yeah.
It was a pretty wild show.
Yeah, no,
Not mild. Linkin Park.
The mild West. No, so all I wanted to ever do was just play blues.
What do you know about John Popper?
Well, here's what I do know is one of my childhood friends, Jake Cohen, his father was Steve Cohen is an
sounds
expert.
Sounds Jewish.
He's an expert blues harmonica player, and he kind of was like John Popper's like mentor.
Get the fuck out of here!
I'm not
really
fucking with you. Yeah,
you know,
look it up. So I, you know, like I'm, I got
you
some.
You are.
I'm one step away from Popper.
Your
degree
separation. Well, I was 0 degrees when today Jacob fucking tagged John Popper in a post where I called him a fat ass, and I was like, Jacob, delete that because he likes guns and like he doesn't.
Yeah, didn't he get caught with like a shit ton of mushrooms?
Yeah,
and
he
then
like
a shit ton of guns.
Yeah, he like lined his car with weapons, and like it's like he got. He lined his car with like weapons and got in trouble. Like, which is like, there's no real reason to line your car with weapons unless you have an end goal of something.
Does he live in like Montana or something?
I don't even think some fucking person was telling us that he doesn't even come to California anymore.
Yeah, I believe that
because of like the gun laws here. Mm. He likes what he likes, man.
He's just
sick. Playing sick harmonica. Which one did you play?
Hook.
I mean, you played Hook. Wow, that's interesting.
Well, but you know what I did?
You didn't play Run Around?
No, but do you want to know what I did? Is I played the first like minute of it, and I was like, we have 2 more minutes until the part where the bridge comes, so I just stopped it and fast forwarded it
to the
Morgan, he's playing at the Belasco November 17th.
Who? John Popper? Like
or
strictly.
Blues Traveler.
At the Belasco?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's go.
Shit, I wish I was in town for a little bit longer.
Just come back.
On the
yeah,
what?
For a few more months.
Yeah, 17th of
November.
Yeah, I'll stick around.
Dude, there's a couch here.
Yeah, there you go.
You can move into right here.
I got a great guest house that I have access
where
to.
Where are you
in
staying
New York
right
City.
Now?
My buddy Mike's place. He has a spot in Echo Park.
Where at?
Fidal?
Williams.
We can't tell the listeners where he lives.
Yeah.
We can talk about Michael Vidal because he is not Fidal.
This is just another old buddy of mine who moved to LA sort of recently, and he's got a nice spot. Got a guest room for me.
Oh, dude. You have a whole house?
Yeah.
Go crazy.
It's small. I mean, it's
yeah,
just
but
like,
still.
I'm not sure if I'm blowing up his spot here, but there is a composting toilet and a shower.
Nice.
It's like this little like comp. It's
a composting toilet?
Yeah.
What is that?
There's like pipes and it goes straight to fertilize his garden.
Wow.
Yeah.
He literally shits in his garden.
You're gonna grow some flowers.
Yeah, I'm psyched.
Yeah, that's
you can great. Only you can only use like natural like soaps in the sink.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they have to feed the plants.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, no, because
that's
if
the
use...
kind of shit you're supposed to do when you move to LA from the East Coast, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Wait, so how long are you in LA for?
Just 4 days.
Okay.
I got jury duty on Monday.
Let's talk about that.
In New York?
In New York, yeah.
Can you discuss the case?
I don't know what the... I mean, I already postponed it once, so I figured I'd have to get it, just finally get it done.
They're going to see you, and they're going to go, you're excused. Yeah, I did it. I tried to do it. I thought it would have been awesome. I want to do it, too. Everybody's like...
Jury duty?
Yeah, of course.
It is awful.
That's secretly how you get off of it, I think, is by looking too eager.
Yeah, but why would it be bad? What if you get a case that's interesting to you?
Imagine if you got a case. You have to be on it for weeks, sometimes months.
I watch episodes of Frasier, and then I watch an episode of Forensic Files.
You can't do work there, so you would literally have to leave this company.
I wouldn't have to leave the company.
I had to literally get a suspension from college because I got on a case.
I can't suspend myself from my own
company. I literally got on a case that like went on for like 3 weeks.
Wait, you were on one?
Yes. And then it got thrown out.
What was the case?
I don't know.
Though?
Are you allowed to like talk about
it? Yeah, you can fucking say it.
It was this girl who like beat up this guy.
Guilty.
And then it went on for 3 weeks and then they threw it out because there wasn't enough evidence. And I was like so behind. I had to
Except
be there every
he
day.
Beat her.
No, she beat him.
Oh.
Well, how bad was the beating?
Bad.
Does it matter? Guys, well,
in the judicial thing,
it doesn't matter how bad it was. It's the crime that was committed.
Yeah.
Don't you fucking watch Law and Order?
Yeah, in the judicial system.
But you would love it.
Yeah.
You love shit like that.
I like stuff like that. And plus, it's just different. It's just like a different scenery. It's different people.
You get paid, too.
Yeah, you get paid.
Like $10
an
hour.
Yeah, $10. Yeah, no, $10
a day. $10 a day?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
do some plug-in.
Okay. It's Juicebox. Milwaukee, Wisconsin. USA.
What are some other bands from Milwaukee?
Are you cutting into his plug-in?
No, we do this. This is important. This is important.
This is before the plug.
Okay. Juicebox, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. USA. Other bands from Milwaukee? Violent Femmes.
Respect.
Bodines. They did the House of... what's the... let's start this over. Okay. It's Juicebox, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. USA. Other bands from Milwaukee? Violent Femmes. The Bodines. They did the Party of Five theme song.
Got it.
You know, Everybody Wants to Be Free.
Yeah.
Closer to Free.
Mm-hmm.
Neon Hunk, Load Records, great two-piece noise band. Die Kreuzen, legendary hardcore unit, one of the best. All right, what Freaked Out American Loser comes... Listen, I could talk for days about Milwaukee.
Fall Out Boy was...
Andy Hurley from Fall Out Boy played in Kill the Slave Master, who were from the Milwaukee area.
There you go, full circle.
Freaked Out American Loser comes out... July 28th, Danger Bird, cassette, vinyl, CD, digital. What else? I don't know. I'm going on tour September, August. Juicebox.com. I don't know, you know? Like
just keep going.
Live your Freaked Out American Loser. Buy
your album comes out on my birthday.
Oh, wow.
Mm.
Happy birthday in advance.
Thank you.
Guess what you're getting for your birthday.
Oh, please.
That's
what I want.
A digital download code.
could you guys hook up with a download code?
Yeah, we can do that. We can definitely do that. And then
We got something to talk to you about.
Only
this podcast.
Only 192 kbps, though.
Hey, do we have the number for the
There's benches around town.
Yeah, we got some bus benches up. You can call. Throw the number
can
in.
Do this?
Yeah,
we can throw the number in the description.
Yeah, let's do that.
And then maybe play a song.
Yeah, we can do that. We can do the whole thing.
Let's do the fucking outro with Juicebox this time.
Let's do the damn thing.
All right, let's do one more. Juicebox, Freaked Out American Loser, July 28th. That's all you really have to know. Danger Bird. Juicebox.com, thunderzone.biz, dangerbirdrecords.com, at juiceboxusa. What's the phone number?
1-800-935-1362.
Again, that's 1-800-935-1362.
If you're an MF, freaked out a loser, American of the...
Juicebox, you take it off. You take us out.
Listen, all you losers out there, I feel you. I'm a loser too. I see you on the fucking other side. Try to stay alive. Bye. Yeah, grown ass man with a dumb ass name. I hit the world and I go insane.
that makes me want to die. Living like a lie, just trying to get by. Look me in the eye, look me in the face.
That's what ransomware is all about. It's psychological pressure.
Ransomware, when your computer's hacked into and your data held ransom. Attacks are on the rise, and Russian gangs are making billions of dollars.
The moment I got that message, I knew our greatest fears that we ever have are starting to come true.
The post-Cold War era is over.
.com, The Hacking. A new season from Crowd Network with me, Katie Puckrick. Just search for .com, that's D-O-T-C-O-M,